Abe, come on up. I need your help. Wyatt, I need your help too, okay? Okay, because, you know, I came in and I saw Abe, and first thing I asked him was, Abe, if you were going to preach this morning, what would you preach on? And you know what he said? You know what he said? He said, Wyatt lost a tooth. So, you did. You said that. You said, I know, but I had asked you a question, and you said, Wyatt lost a tooth. And so I thought, well, we should preach about Wyatt losing a tooth this morning. So how would we do that? I mean, what would I preach about if I was going to preach about Wyatt losing a tooth? Well, I have no idea. He has no idea what I would preach about. We're going to get there, okay? We're going to get to you losing a tooth. But first of all, I have some other questions for you, okay? Do you ever take naps anymore? Rarely. Sometimes you do. Do you have to take naps sometimes? Are you made to take naps? Sometimes you are made to take. Is he made to take naps sometimes? Maybe he's sick or something. Okay, but most of the time you don't. Do you have to take naps? All the time. All the time. Why do you have to take naps? Because you do. Why does he have to take naps? Oh, okay, you can take naps to get stronger. That's pretty smart. Who thought that up? Okay, so you take naps because it'll make you strong. You like to take naps? And why not? Okay, naps are not fun. Okay, do you like to take naps? Do you like to sleep at night? I mean, do you like to go to sleep? Why? You like to go to sleep? Why? Oh, okay. So you need to actually sleep in order to be able to do stuff like the next day? That sort of thing that you mean? And how about you? Do you like to go to sleep at night? Like when your parents say go to bed, you just go to bed and that's it. You just lie down and sleep, and then that makes you really happy when they say it's time for bed. No, I didn't think so. Okay, so you know you don't like to rest, but you sort of have to rest, right? Because your parents make you, or because you know if you didn't, you would actually be a disaster, right? The next day, sort of, you know, you wouldn't be able to do anything, right? Okay. Next question. Sorry? What did you ask?
I was talking to my mom.
Oh, you're talking to your mom. Oh, well, okay. Sorry. You can talk to your mom if you want to. But okay, so next question for you guys. Does God have to rest? He doesn't. Okay. So here is, I'm going to read a Bible passage. Actually, I'm going to ask someone out here to read it. Okay? It's the Bible passage from Hebrews chapter 4. Okay? And I'll tell the adults, okay? You can tune out right now if you want. And the adults, why we're in Hebrews chapter 4, and it's kind of an odd reason, is that in a passing comment last week, I said to the congregation, I said, you're kind of responsible for the quality of the preaching. If you want preaching on a particular topic, then you'd better tell the pastor that you want preaching on that topic. And immediately afterwards, someone came up to me and said, I want a sermon on what it means to enter God's rest. To enter his rest. Well, you know, for anybody who's read the Bible, they know that can only come from one place, and that's from Hebrews chapter 4. And so I'm going to read part of Hebrews chapter 4, and you can try to listen, okay? Here. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and the seventh day God rested from all his work. Okay, so God rested from all his work. That is a quotation from... anybody know? Genesis 2:2, to be specific. So it's Genesis 2:2, the seventh day of creation, God rested. Why did God rest? Do you have any idea why? It? To grow strong? Okay. Do you think God rested to grow strong? Do you think God rested to grow strong? Why not? We're going to put this back here. Okay. Sorry? Okay, well, he'd been creating for 6 days, right? So he'd created everything. He took 6 days to create it. Seventh day, he rested. Was it because he was tired? He was tired? Okay. Is that possible? Okay, now let's hear what... I want you guys to find out what the adults think about this. Okay, so you go and you ask Lindsay and your dad and your mom, okay? And you go and you ask Mr. and Mrs. Nephew, right? Do you know them? You can go and get to know them. What they think, okay? Find out and report back to me. Go to your mom and dad and to Lindsay and ask them what they think. Why did God rest? Did you get a good answer? Okay, we'll wait 1 second. Okay, come back, come on back. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to, without telling the other people that you didn't talk to what the answers were you got, we're going to find out from them what answers they would give, right? And we'll see if they're the same. Okay, so Ruth Ann and Mrs. Brown, why did God have to rest? His work was finished, right? Okay, that's one answer they gave. Okay, Gould family. And we'll add Marvin Hale to it. We won't make you work on your own. Okay, collectively. Why did God rest? That's fine. Genesis 2:2 is a great thing to read. What did it say? Okay. So he rested, and that set a pattern so for people's rest, for the Sabbath, right? So we know that. Okay, so he rested. Rested and that made it holy. Is that why he rested? Did he rest it just to make it holy? Or are there other reasons? Okay, what answer did your parents give? And Lindsay, what answer did they give? What did they say? Why God rested? You forget. What answer did he give? Okay. So it was good. Right? Okay, good. So he was done. He was done, so he rested. He completed it, so he rested. And what answer did you get?
He
was done his work. Okay. Now, when I rest, or when you guys rest, we rest because we're tired, right? And we need to get energy back. We need to grow stronger. That was a great answer earlier, right? That's why we rest. We rest because our work is not done, not finished, not complete. God rested because his work was perfect, complete, absolutely done. This is really important for understanding Hebrews chapter 4, where we are told to enter God's rest. Yeah, you guys can go back with your parents now. We won't be too much longer. When we're told to enter God's rest, it isn't entering the same kind of rest that we experience, right? And just to be clear, this command to enter his rest runs all the way through the Bible. The Sabbath command does. And it culminates here in Hebrews chapter 4. And the question of what it means to enter his rest is tied to what it means for God to have rested. For God to have rested was to have completed his work, because his work was absolutely perfect. So what does it mean for us to then enter his rest. Well, what does it mean? You don't get to stop answering the questions just because Wyatt and Abe are gone. What does it mean? Ride on his coattails, right? Okay. Means to ride. Well, ride on his coattails is a great, great image of it. How else will you put it? Any other ways? Right. The essence of faith is that God has done what he needs to do for us, and that that task is completed for us. And Hebrews, when it talks about God having rested and then ties that to our faith, to entering his rest, is telling us that God's work in an anticipatory form for us was done before the creation of the world. And you say, but you know, how can it be? Because it's obviously ongoing. And there was this bumper sticker that was really common in the 70s and 80s. Be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. Maybe it's still common, I haven't seen it recently. I think it would need to be revised in light of Hebrews chapter 4, because there is a sense in which God is finished with us when we are in him in faith, when we have union with him in faith. His work is in a sense completed in us, and faith is to believe in that absolutely completed, perfect work in us. And that actually is then an amazing thought, because that's not how we normally sort of operate in everyday life. We normally operate all too aware of the imperfection of our walk and our faith and our lives, and that tempts us to do lots of work ourselves in the negative spiritual sense, to really try to work our way into favor with God, into feeling better about ourselves. But God says, my work's complete, absolutely complete, enter my rest. And he commands us in Hebrews chapter 4 to enter his rest. And the key verses, which I have not read yet, will come a little bit farther down. Read them from verse 9 onward. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Rest from his own work. That's the call to us. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. And that's where, of course, the complicated part comes in, which we're not going to talk about today. I'm going to put it off for another Sunday. That is, we have to work to enter the rest. And what exactly that work is an interesting question. But for now and for today, what I want you to dwell on, especially as we come to communion, is that God's work for those who have faith in him is absolutely complete, is absolutely perfect. There was nothing that could be added to Jesus' sacrifice for you or to God's love for you. You cannot improve on it. You cannot subtract from it. You, in him, as he looks at you, are a perfect, mature being, as you will be in glory, because when he looks on you, he sees his son in you. And I promised for Wyatt that I would bring it back to the tooth, right? So this is where it comes. Okay, Wyatt's tooth came out. Why? Because he's in a process of growing towards maturity, and so teeth have to come out for new teeth to come in, and that's how we feel, of course. That's the process that we're in. But God, looking at Wyatt, actually sees Wyatt as he will be in his full and complete maturity in Christ. He belongs to him. So you may feel your teeth coming out, right? But that is not the reality that is the spiritual reality for God. The spiritual reality for God is a complete and perfect and finished spiritual reality. And he asks you by faith to enter into the rest that that brings to you. And that rest is symbolized very powerfully by our taking of communion. Because when we come together and share communion with one another, we're participating in Christ's sacrifice for us, which won for us a relationship with God and acceptance by him and his love and no condemnation and all of those spiritual blessings which he gives us. And so the invitation for communion is the same as the invitation for from Hebrews chapter 4, come, enter my rest. So this is actually a special privilege, I think, in some ways, to share communion as a small group here. We often have a much larger group. I'm going to ask you to just come up and gather close as we do. Maybe we should stand together. Why don't we stand together around close to the front so that as we take communion together, we can feel our closeness with one another.